worship team. And thank you guys for worshiping with us. You guys sound awesome. It's easier to hear from the back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we're having today. Thank you for bringing us all here. Thank you for your word. As hard as it might be to listen to, as hard as it might be to hear, as much as your word changes our lives, we know it's for the better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as a sort of a joke, I wanted to name or put the title of the sermon hashtag blessed. Because we're this fundamental series that we're going through. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5-7. And if you know anything about the Sermon on the Mount, you know how Jesus starts it. He starts it with the Beatitudes. God blesses those, or blessed are those, maybe your translation reads it as. And we are truly blessed regardless of the circumstances that you're living in right now. I mean, just for the very fact of where we are. I mean, this past week was Independence Day, and we are truly blessed to live in the country and to be able to gather the way we are this morning. There are millions of Christians around the world who don't get to gather like this. They aren't blessed in that way. They are blessed in many other ways, and even in their situations as Christ followers, no matter the situation you may find yourself in, you are still blessed. And that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5:3-11. But we have dreams. We have aspirations. Have you ever sat down and been like, man, if I had one wish? I know after watching Aladdin recently, I sat down and I just had the thought, like, if I had one wish, what would it be for? Like, and think about that. Like, if a genie showed up and was like, or obviously genies aren't real, if God showed up and was like, hey, you get one thing, doesn't matter what it is, ask for it, what would it be? And I actually sat down and just, in daydreaming, I was like, what would my one wish be? And the thing that instantly came forth was I would wish for unlimited, like, money. Like, I just show up and, like, I wanted to pay for something, and I'd be like, oh, there's $100 in my pocket for this thing that I want to pay for. And I would just, I want dinner? Pfft, here it is. Rent? Oh, look, it's rent day. There's $800 in my pocket for some reason. Oh, it's rent. But then I had to step back, and it hit me. It hit me like a brick, because I wasn't happy about it. if I'm going to call myself a Christian, what should I really wish for? Let's read Matthew 5, 3 through 11. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will be seen, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now, most of this passage isn't talking about individuals. If you notice, the word that's used there is blessed are those. But when we get to verses 11 and 12, we see God blesses you. This is an important distinction. Jesus is talking about the people of God. Today, what that looks like is the church. It's you and I. It's us in this community. He's talking about the community of believers. And these blessings he's talking about, they aren't talking about today. If you go out and be merciful today, you know, well, you might be shown mercy, but as we know how the world works, it's not usually how it goes. If you go out and are humble, you're probably not going to inherit the whole earth. What he's pointing to is the future in this passage. These blessings aren't again, going to show up for us today. They come at the end. And that's not to say that God won't bless us if we live by his words. No, we often find and know, like I said, we're even without doing anything as Christians in this country, we are blessed. But even if we are blessed, the literal translation of the Greek word that's being used here for blessed means something to the tune of a state of spiritual well-being and prosperity. So it's not even talking about physical blessings. It's not talking about, well, if you inherit the old earth, you're going to physically inherit the planet. No, spiritual well-being and prosperity. But will we be blessed in the ways described here? I guess a better question to ask is, are we as a community of believers doing these things? Are you as an individual within this community doing everything you can to support and live by these ideals, to support a community and help it live by these ideals. We're all connected. We're all part of this church. And I get it. All these blessings are pretty counterintuitive to the culture around us. I'm sure some of you are sitting there and saying, man, if I was pure or let's see, poor and, well, we're Christians. Mourning, like, if I was always mourning, I don't think I'd be comforted. Or, man, if I was humble the way God calls us to be humble, man, that, I'd get eaten alive in this world. I mean, I'd be walked all over. If I was merciful, if I didn't fight back when I got pushed against, man, I'd just be walked all over. I'd be torn apart. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. More and more in our world culture, we see it going the opposite of the way Jesus taught. And this really isn't anything new. While Jesus said God blesses those who are poor and rely on him, it's more like we're blessed when we have a ton of money and rely on ourselves. God blesses those who are humble. More like we're blessed when we are strong, independent, and stand up for ourselves. I'm never going to back down. And I know when putting this together, and some of you may be thinking this, heck yeah, I see this in the culture. But not me. Really? Not me? Not you? Why not? It was pretty clear even the disciples struggled with this. While Jesus was still alive, we saw them fighting over who's going to sit at his right hand in heaven. And after Jesus died, when the disciples supposedly had gotten it and started doing what they were doing, Paul had to show up and tell Peter, why are you treating non-Jewish Christians like this? Why aren't you listening to the words of the guy who just died a couple years ago? You won't even have a meal with them? What's up with that? I saw a quote the other day, and it'll be up on the board. There we go. Sometimes I joke about what I'd do if I had one day left to live. Eat junk, go crazy. And then today it hit me. Jesus knew, and he washed feet. This kind of goes back to that imaginary wish that I had. And really, any other selfish thoughts that we have in our head. Am I really doing everything that God has called me to do as a Christian? How many times have we fought tooth and nail with someone instead of being humble and merciful? How many times have we had our own agenda for doing something, even something nice, instead of being pure of heart? I'm sure every one of us can think back on this week and think of at least one time where we had two options in front of us. And it may not have been presented to us this way, but where we could have built up the kingdom of God or built up ourselves. How many times did we choose to build up ourselves? Again, I know this week, in preparation for this sermon, when God has you write something down, he tends to be pointing at you just as much as anyone else, if not more. Jesus calls us as a community of believers to not only be ready for him, for him to come, but to be readying his kingdom here on earth. And how can we do that when instead of being humble, we're proud? Or instead of being merciful, we're vengeful? Or instead of putting energy, faith, and effort into the kingdom of God, we put it into ourselves? You see, just like that quote kind of punches you in the gut a little bit, with a reality that in all honesty isn't easy to come to. It's not. The culture around us tells us the opposite. Literally every input that we have into our lives, other than those that are from God, tell us the opposite. You drive by a billboard, you hear the opposite. You watch TV, you hear the opposite. You listen to the radio, you hear the opposite. You talk to your friends, you hear the opposite. You go to work, you hear the opposite. These verses from the opening of Jesus' sermon are their foundation for the rest of what is to come in that sermon. And they are meant to impact us today as much as they were to the people he was speaking to then. You see, the Jews weren't in the greatest place either. They weren't the happiest about their situation either. They didn't feel blessed. They felt actually the opposite. They were occupied forcefully by the Romans. They were given a puppet ruler that they were none too happy about. And because of this unhappiness, they were looking to the scriptures for the Messiah to come and save them. What they got was, well, the Messiah. Just not the one they expected. Not the one that their entire culture was telling them they needed. Jesus showed up, and instead of anger and zealotry the Jews expected him to have, he spoke words of peace and submission. And it's kind of funny. I mean, having grown up in the church and now with our worldwide reach with Facebook and things like that, interactions there, I often hear or see written Christians saying, like, how could the Jews not have gotten it? Like, this guy showed up, did all these miracles. How could they have, like, not seen that he was the Messiah? How did they not see that he was the Son of God? The Messiah that they had been waiting for. But some of these Christians are the same ones that I see saying things like, the devastating earthquakes in California these last few days are God's punishment for a whole myriad of sins. When did we become so blinded by our own pride and sense of justice that we completely forgot that our God is a merciful God? Or that our guilt is worth just as devastating a punishment as anyone else's. See, I think we don't see the same Messiah. We miss the same Messiah that the Jews missed. We see and act a lot like our culture. When someone's wronged us, we want them wronged back. The action that we are called to through these Beatitudes are just as counterintuitive. They were looking for vengeful anger towards the Romans, not mercy. They wanted to be a proud nation the proud nation they once were, and not humbled by its circumstances and past. Everyone wanted to look like they were doing the right things, but simultaneously wanted to make sure they were doing it and seen doing it. And made sure they were seen doing it only for the right people. But the actions that we are called to by Jesus are much greater than any of that. He's calling us to build his kingdom. And again, this isn't some place that we can just look forward to as Christians. It's not some place that we can look forward to when we die and are resurrected, or the end times. We're called to be the ones who are bringing the kingdom of God right now. And these blessings that Jesus is calling for, they come attached to actions that are meant to build that kingdom. Because that kingdom brings those blessings. And these blessings aren't some automatic reward for doing good things. We're not meant to have this mentality about, well, if I do the good work of the Lord, then I'll be blessed. No, even in the Beatitudes, he lists, God blesses those whose hearts are pure. So you shouldn't be doing this out of some expectation that, oh, when the kingdom comes about, I'll be blessed. No, you should be doing it out of the pure Spirit of God through unselfishness. What this requires of us is to step forward, to be full of the Spirit, to unselfishly, unashamedly, without concern for yourself or others, build the kingdom of God. Follow and live by the teachings of Christ. Yes, this does mean possibly giving up everything you own. Yes, this does mean possibly leaving everyone you love. Yes, this does mean that you will have to make some hard decisions about your life. And those decisions will have to alter the way you go about said life. If we're building the kingdom of God, our life looks completely different. Jesus was such a transforming figure. He was so popular because he looked so different from the world that was around him. And we as Christians are called to be the exact same thing. As Christians, our only goal should be to see the kingdom of heaven brought here on earth. And we as a community of Christians should be doing this together. And this doesn't mean just me, Jordan, Barb, the board, or even our ministerial leaders. I want you to ask yourself a really hard question. When was the last time you inconvenienced yourself to do something for the kingdom? When was the last time that you gave up something you wanted to do for Christ? Well, not every single one of us will be able to fill every one of the Beatitudes. We just won't. We're human. It's hard. Again, we live in this world. And quite frankly, God hasn't created us to fulfill every single one of them. But he's created this community we call the church to do so. We as a community must be willing to sacrifice everything to make sure that not only our Christian community looks and sounds like the blessed ones in these verses, but that we're bringing those blessings to our physical community around us. So that in the end, we can help spread the kingdom of righteousness and peace through the entire earth. And I'm going to call the worship team up. And I'm going to open up the altars. Not that they're ever closed, but I would urge you to come to the altar or sit in your place or come to God in some way and ask him, where does this put you? Where and how is God putting you to build his kingdom? And maybe that's just too big of a question to ask right now. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not even sure I can do this whole Christian thing without all this extra stuff. Well, here's the thing. None of us are asked to do it by ourselves. Not only is God here for us, always, no matter what, but again, we're in a Christian community called the church. We, as your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, are here to help support you through this. And we're here to come by you and support you. See, we're never called alone. We're called as an entire body. We're called as an entire body to this hard task, and through God, we support each other in it. Just as the different parts of our body support each other. The Sermon on the Mount starts with the Beatitudes. And it ends with these verses in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the wind beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Are you going to help us build our home on the rock of God and his wisdom and strength through discipleship and faith and true desire to follow Christ in every part of our lives? Or are you going to build it on sand that is made of our own selfishness, pride, and unwillingness to be made uncomfortable? Because the rain is coming and our house is going to be tested. Will it stand? Let's stand. Thank you.